great song.
That song can only mean one thing.
That'll get you going in the morning.
Dr. Sky in studio.
Hot dog. Man, we're going from hiking and mountain biking and ultraviolet searching for scorpions to the galaxies. All in one fell swoop here at Rosie on the House.
If you take Amy up on one of those night hikes, you can do both. Enjoy the desert and the sky.
Yeah, that'd be so nice. I'm glad they finally took my wanted posters down in Fountain Hills.
What were you wanted for?
Well, back in the 70s, me and my motocross buddies would start.
Oh, the Batat.
We would, I wasn't going to talk about that. Yeah. I returned that.
You can have it back, Desert.
We thought when Fountain Hills was starting their golf course, they were building us our own personal motocross track. So we would leave the A&W at Scottsdale and Shea. We'd fill up our motorcycles at the Conway Chevron right there on the corner, and we'd haul up parallel Shea Boulevard, through the mountains, through the deserts that were still open on the dirt road, get over to Taliesin, go over the top of the McDowell Mountains, and man, there was like this motocross playground, and they were cutting it all up just for us. Unfortunately, the developer and the sheriff's department just didn't see it that way, but we had a lot of fun there. So, love the McDowell Mountains. I can't encourage y'all enough to get out there and try and experience it and see it and visit it. And now we'd like to bring in our next special guest, because not only does McDowell Mountain Regional Park have a lot going on right now, but boy, over your head, day and night, there's a lot going on right now. Dr. Sky, welcome. Thanks again for joining us here at Rosie on the House.
And good morning, Rosie and Jennifer. Thanks so much for letting me be in the house. That's great. Oh, Thank you.
Always welcome.
We always love your galactical updates. What's going on up there right now?
Well, we have so many cool things as we move out of April, which, by the way, was a fantastic month. And with all that wind that you were talking about before, look at the morning. Isn't it gorgeous? It's setting us up for a beautiful night at the Dolly Steamboat tonight. We're sold out again, but we want to mention that we'll do another one of these on May the 20th as we move into the next great month. But
That is a great event. Can I just take a minute and give you like a little plug here?
Thank you, sir.
Folks, you get on the Dolly Steamboat on Canyon Lake at about sunset with Dr. Sky. They cater a full dinner meal for you, and Dr. Sky has these laser flashlights that shine like 4,000 miles up in the night sky, and he points out all the constellations and the things that you can see. It is an absolutely fabulous evening family event, and when we went last year, we even saw the bighorn sheep climbing up the side of the hill. So that was just like one little lanyard viewing there.
Well, thank you, Rosie. I think you just now booked the next cruise there, and I think it's already sold out.
I think it books itself. It really is a tremendous experience. And just calm, relaxed, good family entertainment. Just can't beat it.
Well, thanks for the promo. And it really is a beautiful place. I mean, when people realize, especially out-of-town visitors, I mean, we have so many of the winter visitors and people who live here, they don't realize, Rose, until they go out there, that only about 35 miles from, let's say, downtown Phoenix, you get to experience, as both you and your family did, this magnificence of Arizona, as I like to say, as it was hundreds of years ago. You know, just absolutely spectacular. But tonight's another one, and May 20th, if you're interested, folks, just give the Dolly Steamboat a call. Go online, of course, dollysteamboat.com. And May 20th, we sail dockside for the Dr. Sky cruise to the cosmos at 6 p.m. So that's one of the big things happening for us. But in case you're not able to make it, Rosie, the most spectacular thing we can talk about this morning of what's in the sky, I like to call it the live sky. If folks just look out into the southeast in that part of the sky just after sunset, that bright light that you see unmistakably is Jupiter. And it was actually closest to the Earth right around April the 7th, but still phenomenal. Even in a little pair of binoculars, I showed this to a few school kids, hold the binoculars and you will see some of those satellites that Galileo first observed back in January of the year 1610. But anyone who's listening that has a small telescope, what a treat, because we're not only looking deep into the cloud bands of Jupiter, not only watching those little satellites move back and forth, but Rosie and Jennifer, you get to see on occasion some of the satellites moving and their shadow going across the big part of Jupiter.
Wow.
But it's got to be the most amazing sight to see, an easy one. In other words, a lot of people say to me in the emails, hey, Dr. Scott, you talked about something, but I can't find it. How do I find it? Well, this one, it's a naked eye object, southeast sky, you can't miss it. It's just above a fairly bright star in Virgo, one of the zodiac signs, as people know, called Spica. But then if you wait and look into the southeast just after midnight, the planet that will actually be dominant for us in June is Saturn, and that's phenomenal because the Cassini spacecraft is doing some dives into the ring plane before it's, you know, it sadly ends its mission coming up later. But that's amazing. And then the telescope, wow, that one just knocks it out of the park, Rosie. I mean, that one looks so it looks so surreal. When people see it, they go, what do you have, a little thing inside there to light it up or something? It's amazing. So that's some of the cool stuff. And
now,
there's many more.
Dr. Sky and I always have a little visit the week before so I can get an idea of where he wants to go, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't put a zinger or a change of direction on Dr. Sky at least every visit. So we're talking about Jupiter, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Explain to me why it's the only planet in the planetary system that rotates in the opposite direction.
Well, it's not entirely true, Rosie. Venus is the one that Venus is the planet.
Oh, is it Venus?
Venus, right. Venus is what we call retrograde rotation. So in Earth terms, this early in the morning, Venus
or any time of the day, actually.
Venus was kind of kicked backwards. Nobody knows. I mean, it's a great question to talk about planets, but let's just go back to Jupiter. Jupiter has something even more dynamic. It has two different rotation speeds. So in other words, the higher you go to the poles, the slower it turns. And as you get toward the equator, the fatter part of the planet, it actually rotates faster than the upper region. So for the listeners, it would be something like this. If you were in Moscow, you would rotate and your day would be longer than if you were, let's say, in the Caribbean or somewhere along the equator. So Jupiter has what's called differential rotation. But going back to what you were saying, Venus is retrograde. But the answer, Rosie, to no matter what planet it is that goes backwards, nobody knows why the darn thing does that. And that's another planet that you can see just before showtime, and now that the sun rises early, you go out and look, that's the big bright thing that's in the eastern sky when you look in the morning. And you know how many people call up TV radio stations? I saw something that's flashing, and it's definitely not Earth-like. Well, you know what? It is truly a UFO if you don't know what it is. But now you know by listening to Rosie on the House, right, that it's Venus. But Venus does the retrograde rotation. Nobody knows why.
Well, those retrograde rotations are the kind of things that just really wrap my mind in a world of wonderment.
Oh, it's amazing. And I'm sure, Rosie, with all the and Jennifer, with all the planetary systems that have been discovered around stars, think about this. In 1995, a quiet discovery was made that a star system called 51 Pegasi, there was another planet observed, or the first planet ever observed around another star. Now, a lot of people didn't pick up on that. But now we're talking about thousands of planetary systems around stars. To me, that's probably one of the most earth-shaking, amazing discoveries that we've made in the last 50 years. So the point is, imagine how many other planetary systems that we don't know about, and imagine the world that they live under. And who knows, maybe all their planets go backwards. We don't know. It's totally
absolutely incredible. Absolutely. I wonder what they watch on TV.
Yes. And who knows what they see. But, you know, it's amazing, Rosie. Within the confines of the sun, if we look at the nearest star, if we go out to the sun, Alpha Centauri area, 4.5 light years away, imagine they're seeing small planetary objects there. But if mankind has any hopes of ever moving toward these objects, one of the congressmen, of course, is looking not only to fund the Europa mission, I've had him on my program, but he's also looking to do the first planetary exploration probe out to Alpha Centauri and try to push it at incredible speeds. But even by light, it would take four. If I used one of my lasers, it would take 4.5 years just to get there. So just think of how, you know, big, and that's the easy word. What is it? I don't know. The volume is just literally astronomical out there. It's amazing.
Well, I have to repeat myself every time you're on just to try and get people's head kind of dialed into the breadth of what we're talking about. Speed of light, 186,000 miles per
second. Right.
Second.
Absolutely. Per second.
186,000 miles per second.
You got it.
And if you launched in a rocket traveling the speed of light, going to the end of the known universe. That doesn't even qualify for what's beyond that in the unknown. Just to the end of the known, you're traveling how long?
Well, some say upwards of 96 billion light years. But the truth is, in the confines of what we hear in our classrooms, it's about 13.5 billion light years of expansion. But here's the point. Even in simpler way, for the morning listening audience here, as you're waking up.
Pour yourself a cup of coffee.
It's like you and I, Rosie, and Jennifer, standing on a platform, and I snap my fingers, and in 1 minute, we would go 11 million miles. So that's the easy way to interpret it. Imagine that. Imagine the shock and awe of that. Okay, folks, step on this platform, snap your fingers, boom, want to go for this ride? It sure beats anything they have at, you know, anywhere at Disneyland or Disney World. But imagine that. 11 million miles a minute is how we look at light and then coming back to the Earth. That'd be kind of an interesting two-minute ride, wouldn't you think?
Would be a very interesting two-minute ride.
That would be amazing.
I like that. That's a bite-sized look at that, because sometimes the numbers are so big you can't even, it doesn't mean anything.
Talking about the extent of the universe, and why do we think it's that far? Because this may be one of many sausages on a link, as some of the cosmologists, you know, the people that delve into why we're here, you know, they scrape into the religion, they kind of touch every known area of science. They even scrape against religion because, and again, I'm not here to change people's beliefs, but if you believe in science, and of course if you believe in religion, obviously the creation is just so amazing. But it's interesting, folks, more and more scientists have come around to the concept that there must be some sort of magnificent creator out there to pull this whole act off, don't you think? It's just,
That explains Venus. God got done with it. He said, "You think that's something? Watch this. I'm going to make this one spin backwards just to throw you off."
Hi, Romy. How are you?
Good, Dr. Sky. How are you?
Doing great this Saturday. You bet, brother.
Well, I tell people all the time, I think it takes just as much faith to believe in the Big Bang and evolution as it does to believe in the Bible. It's faith either direction, that's for sure. What about communicating with anybody that might be out there? We've been sending signals out there asking someone to answer us for what now, 50 years?
We have. And, you know, it's interesting. We can talk about this both ways. You know, I was involved in a project with Hugh Downs, you know, the great broadcaster that he is. More time on television, they say, in the Guinness Book of World Records than, you know, any human alive. And wow. I was asked to do something called the Cosmic Call. And this is not a joke. This is real serious. We went down to one of the local television stations. And very quickly, you know, he's the man, the consummate interviewer. I had the opportunity to go through makeup and sit there, and then he was my guest on a TV show. But here's what we did, which makes it even more interesting. We actually sent a message on this video recording that we did, and Mr. Downs read it, and what it was sent out to was a large radio telescope in the Ukraine, this large telescope that was, you know, the Russian government almost went bankrupt, so they now used it to send signals. And it was actually a military eavesdropping antenna, gigantic, like 250 feet across. So what happened? Our message with Mr. Downs is beamed out into space. So between the two of us, I'll let you folks know if anything does try to contact me. But isn't that amazing? So that message alone is going out into space, along with many others.
When did you do that?
That was back in, 2004, I believe. And I haven't heard anything
yet.
Nothing yet.
You're tuned in to Rosie on the House with Dr. Sky. And Dr. Sky, we're going to be right back. Don't you go anywhere.